Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a new edition of the Cards Cast, a weekly podcast from Cardinal Authority. I'm senior writer Michael McCammon, joined by publisher Jody Demling. Jody, plenty to get through. I mean, it wouldn't be Louisville if there wasn't some kind of drama going on. At least that's how it's felt the last eternity, really. You know, the latest, the Dean of
12 years, Michael. It's 12 years.
Yeah. Which feels like an eternity. Maybe we could just call this one the Dino Chronicles and add another chapter to the book. But as we learned yesterday, University of Louisville, going to fight an extortion attempt from former assistant Dino Gaudio, who wanted 17 months of pay after being didn't have his contract renewed. A lot of bad decisions just going on, you know, in that whole decision. And Louisville put his foot down and said, we're not dealing with it. Still, ugly look, kind of, embarrassing a little bit, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know how it got this far, what we've kind of talked about. It's kind of weird how, you would think it would be something that you could kind of make go away a little bit and not, work it out somehow, some way. And I know a lot of people are talking about that. But I do think that, from what I understand, it got beyond, it got beyond the point of no return pretty much. And that's what stinks. If it could have just, and I'm not saying pay the extortion or do whatever, but, work it out somehow. We've seen how that can backfire in your face as well, but still, I just feel like the embarrassment for not only the fans, but just for, the whole program and everybody involved, just another black eye, another thing, as we've talked about, on the boards, another hurdle for the program to have to clear. Now, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I on the board, I'm no lawyer, but I can't imagine with everything going on in our world that something like that would cause you to get thrown in jail. But I'm told, it could be 2 years in jail. It could be probation. It could be a fine. It could be, some of all of the above. So, yeah. It's kind of wild and it's kind of crazy to get ticked off. And when you get, for lack of a better way of saying it, not, your contract not returned, I still call it fired because it one way or the other, it's the same thing. but to get that pissed off when you do that, I think a lot of people would be ticked off. I'm not sure a lot of people would say the things that he said, hopefully not, but most people would get ticked off, and for it to get to this point is it's pretty amazing, really, in my opinion, just because, like I said, you would think there would be ways for it to be worked out, and I just think from what I understand it got so far along and so bad that it was not able to be worked out.
Yeah, there were some storylines that popped up yesterday regarding this. And and one of those was, like you mentioned, no matter what the situation is, whether you're a longtime friends or whatever the case may be, when you do lose your job, when you're essentially fired, you're going to get ticked off. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's human nature. Nobody enjoys getting fired. They'd rather obviously keep their job. But, one of the things that I guess one of the storylines to go back that kind of popped up was this was Dino just kind of losing, his temper. For a minute, and obviously he kind of had an apology come through an attorney yesterday, but a school's not going to drop and go to the feds for an extortion case if it's a one time throw things around the office, whatever the case may be, say some things, you know, this is something that stretched on for days and got to the point to where, you know, some folks at U of L is like, you know, that I've had enough, you know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, obviously they were close friends that it got to this point. You know, now we're seeing Dino from yesterday trying to, you know, do one of the, you know, my bad type of situations, you know, but at some point you got to realize, hey, you know, and unfortunately he didn't do this, but you just, like I posted on the message board, you can't let your anger, you know, create your actions. And he fueled himself apparently by his anger for a number of days. And, you know, and now here we are. And like you, you know, it's something you would hope that could have gotten taken care of, you know, outside of the public eye. And maybe that was the initial hope, you know, but to do all this over such petty little potential, you know, violations that, you know, who knows if he was participating in those or not. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's an unfortunate mess is what it is. And, you know, now, you know, Louisville's going to, and I'm sure they thought this through that, hey, look, as soon as this becomes public, you know, the school, the university, the athletic department, the basketball program, it's going to take its shots. So I don't think anybody at the University of Louisville said, hey, this is a foolproof idea. Let's do this. Right. And everybody's going to, you know, wave their pom-poms, go Cards, and say, you show Dino. I mean, they knew some, you know, some black eye was going to come from this.
Oh yeah. They totally did. They, you know, I mean, they thought this through, not, and I'm not just talking about, you know, Chris Mack and Vince Tyree, but this was obviously a much, 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 much higher thought process here to this one, as you know, it was a, it was a deal that that legal people, you know, the lawyers and the folks at the university were involved in, and not just the athletic department. So I think once, like I said, I think once it got to a certain point, it was kind of a point of no return, so to speak. And that's, again, what stinks about this whole thing. Dino's a good guy. Got to know him very well over the course of years. And it stinks because 30 years of a friendship where you coached, a guy, you all coached together, you were friends, your family were friends, and then you come in and you coach for your friend. And obviously, you know, when Chris made that decision to move on from not just Dino, but from Luke, the friendship that they have, you know, it's going to strain and probably most likely end that relationship because you're getting rid of them and it's part of the job. And as Coach Mack pointed out the other day, it's the first time in his career as a head coach he's fired someone. So when you do that, you know that's the case. But when it goes to this point, you know, obviously there's no Christmas card being exchanged between the Macs and the Gaudios moving forward. I hope for everybody concerned and everybody involved, I hope that you, we hear the end of, I hope this ends sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
You know, I know, you know, Dino Gaudio's attorney, local guy, Brian Butler has said that they're trying to come up and work out a deal or whatever that may be. I just, you know, if you drag this thing out and you saw from, unfortunately, the last time we had an extortion case with the Louisville basketball, you know, program, you saw the fact that when Karen Seifer lost that. So let's not say, I mean, that was just a terrible, that was another terrible attempt of extortion, but we could go on for days on talking about things. But you saw all of the dirty, crazy, just almost like cringy kind of things that came out when that went to court and went to trial. You just hope that this doesn't, and I'm not saying there's many cringeworthy things with this, but it's still the embarrassment that you get with this. You want to move on.
Yeah, you don't want, you know, obviously, you know, Louisville's still trying to have things decided from things that happened years ago. So you don't need to pile on, no matter how small or trivial the quote unquote violations may be. But yeah, you know, hopefully, and it sounds like that's the hope here, at least from Dino's side, is that this won't go to court. You know, knock on wood, that, like you said, they can get through this. University of Louisville can get past this pretty quickly. I'm kind of the belief this will be kind of unlike, you know, some of the prior things that have happened around the program. This, you know, will be more of the flash in the pan type of news cycle type of deal. There were certainly some people, you know, that wanted to grab some attention grabbers with their headlines yesterday that threw out some really kind of to be expected articles from some certain folks. But yeah, you know, that's just something, like I said, you know, Louisville had to know that kind of stuff was coming. So they were willing to deal with it and they wanted to put their foot down and, you know, and take a stand and fight against this potential extortion that was going on. And you know, so hopefully, you know, like you said, it gets through quickly.
Yeah. You want to talk some real sports? You want to talk?
Yeah, let's do it. As long as you promise, this is going to be the last thing like this. Because you carry some weight, Jody. So is this it? Is no more?
You mean as far as, you know, crazy stories?
Yeah, no more black guys for at least, you know, till 2040 or something like that.
I mean, good grief. It's only been, what, a few that since 2000 and,
It's not like Zion Williamson played for Louisville or, you know, anything like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So let's I don't think there's any promising of anything. But at some point, like I said, on the board, at some point it has to stop, yeah, right? So we've run through the gamut, we've run through the course. Some point it does have to stop. All right, as far as basketball is concerned, a lot of recruiting news going on, Michael, and most of it with the 2023 class, and that's for several reasons. They're trying to get a jump on that class. It's a really good class in state. As of right now, George Washington III still in state. I'm not sure what that's going to happen because, you know, his dad was at Mercy Academy, left that, and is supposedly getting a college coaching job or getting back in college coaching. So I'm not sure where he will end up and will the kid go and all that. But right now he's in state. Obviously, Reed Shepherd and Caleb Glenn, three really good prospects in the state of Kentucky. And then you've got Gabe Sis, who's just, I think, right now a little below those guys as far as, you know, his evaluation on where he can be at the next level. And there's some other guys in that class as well. So a good job of the staff of recognizing, getting some of those guys on campus early on. A lot of those guys will visit the first week of June. And, you know, Michael, when this all happens, as far as this recruiting dead period ends, it's going to be kind of like Christmas for the kids, for the coaches in all sports, and for us, because you finally get to hear kids talk about being on campus and not the same. Everybody's adjusted. The Zoom visits have been great, but it's not the same as a kid being on campus. So they've done a good job of that. The other thing is the 2022 class. You know, right now you only have one spot because Tay Davis is committed. And I know things are going to change. You know, you've got guys that could leave, you know, guys that could go pro, guys that could do all this other stuff. But with the transfer portal, with the way things are, one spot, I just think you do limit the guys that you're looking at. I think that there's five or six that Louisville is looking at right now. You know, Paul McMillan and Donald Hand are two guys that are a little off of the radar, maybe. You know, Rodney Rice, MJ Rice, and Favor IRA are the guys that have been the main targets. So, you know, I expect some of those guys to make visits. I expect a lot of the 2023 kids to make visits, and it should be a good time for basketball.
Yeah, I mean, we've got an article up right now kind of recapping or setting the stage, which we'll continue to update on some of the kids that are already scheduled to make unofficial visits. And again, like you mentioned, they're pretty much all 2023 kids right now. And, you know, and half of those you listed them are in-state kids. So really like the efforts that Mac and his staff are making, you know, early with those 23 kids. You mentioned George Washington, had a chance to talk to his dad. And was really impressed about how Louisville was kind of, you know, adamant, hey, we want to be the first place he visits. We want him to come here on June 1st, you know, before lunch even. Let's get him on campus. That's how serious we are about him. And, you know, so, you know, and obviously there's the potential that he can move away. You know, and really, he's a kid that I think no matter where he calls home, when the time he makes a commitment, it's going to be a national recruiting effort, and he's going to have, you know, opportunities to go, you know, all different sorts of places. So, and I think Louisville will probably be one of those he'll consider to the end. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the in-state kids and what the guys are already touching base, you know, I really like the efforts that they're making. And 22 is going to be interesting, you know, because I think 21 is just kind of, you know, giving everybody this sense of how to handle the transfer portal, how to handle, you know, recruiting high school kids, and, you know, and it, I think programs are still filling it out. And as we heard Chris Mack say the other day, you know, how each one of those, how you recruit high school, how you recruit the portal is going to depend on the program. It's going to depend on the year, on your needs. And you, because really, Jody, I mean, it's kind of become free agency for colleges, essentially. But, you know, and another thing that's coming up now that recruiting is going to be able to be in person again is these kids are going to go to these AAU events. And once again, college coaches are going to be able to sit there and watch them. And that has an impact as well. Even if they can't talk at these events, they look over as they're running up and down the court or taking a breather on the bench and, you know, see, you know, multiple Division I head coaches and top assistant coaches sitting off to the side taking notes. You know, that has an impact, you know, on their performance as well. So it's, you know, I'm excited. I know you are. I know the coaches clearly are to be able to, you know, that the recruiting is opening again.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, The thing about basketball you have to remember, unfortunately, is there's still the NCAA stuff that's out there. So people are using that against them. So they have to kind of recruit around that. But I also think that, you know, when you look at this new staff, you know, things probably will change as far as some guys once they see guys in person. So at the end, of June, they get to go out for a weekend to some high school events. And then in July, they've got 2 weekends of evaluation. So once they do that, I do think that this is a summer that you're going to see a lot of change. So that is a good thing. It's a very good thing. That will happen, you know, in basketball, and we'll have complete coverage of all of the visits when they come and when they leave and that kind of things. One guy in the 23 class that I think just to mention, because I'm super excited to later in the month get to see this kid, and that's Xavier Booker, who's the big kid from Cathedral in Indianapolis. This kid is an absolute just star in the making. He's kind of just coming into his own, really. He's starting to get all kinds of attention. And he's gonna end up being one of the best kids in this class, and for good reason. All you got to do is watch a little bit of the tape. This kid can block a shot from anywhere. So kind of exciting.
Yeah, and he'll be on campus June 4th. Again, you can go to our homepage at cardinalauthority.com right now and kind of get a rundown on some of those 23 kids who have made unofficial visits. And Jody, you mentioned change, and obviously something that's going to impact things as well is, you know, just 2 days ago, you know, we had an opportunity to sit, you know, to chat with, you know, Chris Mack's new group of assistants that he's brought onto his staff. You know, so obviously they're going to have an impact as well. And Jody, I was quite impressed, by that press conference. I mean, they all took as much time as we wanted with each of them, and really loved the answers that they had. Excited. You know, some of the key things that came away from that was, you know, obviously, you know, they discussed the recruiting opening up and the impact of that, but the impact on what we could potentially see on the floor next year as far as pace of play, defensive style, stuff like that. So really looking forward to seeing how these changes do impact not only off the court with recruiting, but as well as on the court as far as the product it goes.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it. Excited to see all of that take place and happen. We've got plenty of stuff to report on from that press conference as well. And hey, I do want to mention while we're talking basketball, one note here to mention, the guy to keep a close eye on is Trey Donaldson. He'll make a visit the first weekend that Louisville football is having visitors in on June the 11th. And when he does that, he will make the visit as a football guy. But remember, he is a dual sport guy and is going to end up, you know, trying to play basketball as well. So we'll see what happens with that. But quite honestly, he's a guy that I think right now it's Louisville in Florida. You know, Derek Nicholson has done a really good job of recruiting him for football. The crazy thing is it started in basketball with Dino Gaudio being the point man of, you know, saying, hey, you've been offered a walk-on spot and here's the deal now. The new staff or the, you know, the new guys on the staff have kind of taken over and, you know, he would basically come to Louisville as a football recruit and then would be a walk-on for basketball. Both staffs have signed off on if it works out, fine, we can do it. And I do think that both staffs know that it's a long shot for a kid to play those two sports full-time, you know, at the next level. But Trey is a kid that, you know, when I've talked to him, he really wants to see this through and try this out. So it'll be interesting to see if how far this can move, you know, forward between the two schools. It's pretty far along at this point. Like I said, I think Louisville and Florida are the two schools out there in front.
Yeah, four-star kid, you know, a tremendous safety as well as an impressive point guard. Going to be in Louisville on June 11th for his official visit, like you said, with the football program. So a lot of positives, you know, from the recruiting world. You know, and similarly, like we were saying, we've got a list for the unofficials for basketball. We're continuing to update a similar list for official visits for football. So keep an eye out for that at cardinalauthority.com as well. I mean, June's going to be crazy, Jody. I mean, we've got camps at football again. We've got team camps for basketball, women's basketball, baseball is getting their camps going. You know, you've got events where coaches can go out and watch, you know, from the basketball side, coaches can go out and watch some kids play. So things are kind of getting back to normal. I'm really looking forward to it, Jody.
I don't know what normal is, but it's we're gonna be close to that. I was just looking in the and writing down. We have things on June 5th and 6th, visits on 11th, 14th and 15th, visits on 16th, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th. All that is in June of days that there are something going on as far as with recruiting, you know, at Louisville. And that's not even considering the unofficial visits, which I expect the staff of both the football and basketball team to have unofficial visits on all those days.
You know, and then in July, then the AAU kicks in. So going to be a lot of content coming at Cardinal Authority and, you know, it should be a lot of fun.
It definitely should be one. Before we end this podcast this week, you know, the football, we've talked a lot about football and the recruiting over the course of time. So we'll get back to some of that next week. Interesting from Dan McDonald yesterday that Michael Kurian is no longer the Friday night starter for Louisville. I knew that was going to happen at some point. So, you know, this week's rotation from what I expect it to be in some form or fashion, Luke Seed, Jared Poland, and Tate Keener are three guys that at the beginning of the year, I don't think many people would have had those three guys as your weekend rotation on the final weekend of the regular season, but that's where we are. And again, this team has struggled. There's no, you know, way to explain it really, except for you look at some of the injuries and things that they had going on early in the season, and I'm still not counting them totally out just because we've seen they can have an offensive explosion, and when they get going, they really get going. I really want Henry and Alex to be hot at the same time just to see how crazy that could be. It only happened for like a weekend, and then things got shut down. So, but Kerryon not in the rotation this weekend is going to make for an interesting weekend. Plus, you're talking about Thursday, Friday, Saturday instead of Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, it's not like Luke Seed has been your most consistent guy. He pitched on Saturday. You're not going to probably bring him back 2 days short of his rest and bring him back on Thursday. So I would expect it would be Poland or Keener to start on Thursday, and then Poland and or Keener, one of the other one to start on Friday, and then Saturday you've got Seed. So while Seed might be the most consistent one right now, I'm not sure he'll be the first guy they roll out there.
Yeah, you know, and Tate Keener has been, you know, he's been one of the bright spots out of the bullpen. So I'm curious to see how he can do in the starting role. He really has settled in and has helped calm things down when he's been in there. So, which has been a difficulty as we've chronicled much at Cardinal Authority throughout this season. It's been a head scratcher for sure. And like you, I mean, you know, I was talking with somebody within the program yesterday, and, you know, I told him, I was like, look, you know, I've had my toes on the edge of jumping over and forgetting that this team has a chance in the postseason multiple times. And each time I've, walked up to that edge, they've done something, you know, to pull me back, whether, you know, an impressive weekend series, beating Vandy, whatever the case may be. So I haven't completely given up on them. I'm not as confident as I have been in years past for many multiple reasons, but they do have the tools to make some noise. They're going to have to do it on the road as they're not one of the hosts. So hopefully that does put a chip on their shoulders and, you know, make them feel like they got to go out and prove something. And then I think they've got the tools to prove it, but they've got to put it all together, you know, in multiple games back to back. And, you know, that's been a struggle.
Yeah, no, it definitely has been. So we'll see. They need a good finish at home, get a couple good wins, maybe in the ACC tournament next week. It's going to be tough for this team to string a few wins together at places just because of the lack of pitching depth that they have. That, and again, they have pitching depth. They just have guys that haven't been throwing strikes. So they've got to turn something around, but still not totally out of the question. We'll have to wait and kind of see what they do, but not giving up on them just yet, not giving up on anything just yet, Michael. There's going to be a year here soon where we're not talking about court battles. We're talking about on the court thing, and that's it. So, it's going to happen. So, but for Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Dimling. This has been our weekly edition of the Cards Cast.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.